Amen. For our time together, would you please turn into your Bible, Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. You may also follow along by looking at the screen. Psalm 100, and there are five verses there. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I believe that when this psalm, Psalm 100, was written, primarily this psalm was for the Israelite, the people of Israel, in the Old Testament time. But I believe that God had in mind all of us at that point, the very point these words were written down. Why? Look at verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, who is included, all the earth. All the earth. Then if you look at verse 5 at the very end of this chapter of Psalm 100. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through what generations? All generations. Which means this psalm is for them during that time and for us now here in 2015. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Why should we shout for joy to the Lord? This is a very appropriate season to shout for joy to the Lord because this is the season of Thanksgiving. I don't have to remind you that. Do you remember your first Thanksgiving? Celebrations of family, turkey, and football, perhaps, or parade. And all the wonderful traditions. My first American Thanksgiving was spent right here in our neighborhood, not in New Hampshire, but rather in the next state of Massachusetts, Andover, Massachusetts, in 1993. A college roommate of mine invited me, and I really had to experience the first Thanksgiving season, and I looked forward to it. And so I went and spent a weekend throughout the week with them, the school holiday. And you know, that was also the first American movie that I really paid attention to and watched, and it's called Mrs. Doubtfire. Anybody remember that movie? That was my Thanksgiving memory. I watched that movie, and I ate lots of turkeys and watched the parades all morning long, and then had this feast of meals and celebrate with family in Massachusetts and had a wonderful time. And that was so meaningful, and I never forgot that experience. The graciousness, the kindness of people opening up their homes and their hearts. I didn't remember all the conversation we had, but remember that we went around the table and we say one thing we're grateful for. And that's what the psalm is saying to us. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. We shout for joy to the Lord, maybe because God has been good to us throughout the year. Maybe God has helped us through our troubles, difficulties. Maybe the Lord has given us a new direction in life throughout the year. Maybe the very fact that we're able to sit down today in this place of worship and saying, God, you are good. You are wonderful. So from our inner being, we collect these memories of gratitude, and we form an attitude to say, God, you're good, you're wonderful, therefore I will praise your names, I will give you thanks from my most inner being, and shout to you, O Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. remember that the Lord is good. And just think of this season, of all the things that God has done for you and for your family. Yes, we recollect all the materials, goods, and all the things that we can see. How about the things that we cannot see? The spiritual blessings, the goodness of the Lord, His mercy, His faithfulness, His gift of salvation. The very fact that we have courage, we can go on even in the midst of life. A story been told about years and years ago in one part of in India, that people were born and children were born with good health, with good eyesight. But for some reason, as they got older, they lost sight and they got blind. And so Western missionaries came to the area and figure out and discover what the problem was. And they were able to bring medicines and cure that sickness and restore sight to the blind or prevent the disease. And the people were so grateful, so thankful. But in the particular that ethnic groups in part of India, they did not have a word for thank you. They do not have a word for saying thank you. Instead, they would say to the missionaries, I will tell your name. I will tell your name. And that's precisely what Psalms 100 verse 2 is telling us. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Worship the Lord with gladness. And that's mean when we worship God, we're not worshiping the Pastor Joseph. We're not worshiping the worship leaders, the church staff, or elders. Or as wonderful that we all are, not even each other's. We come here to worship who? Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him joyful songs. I was so glad that Richard had asked us all to turn around and look at each other. When I do that, all I saw was beautiful faces and smiles. True. That's what I saw. And that's what it should be. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. And when I think about that word in particular, worship is not just for Sunday morning. Worship is an everyday act. It involves service. It involves fellowship. It involves giving. And that's why we collect tithes and offerings and do the stewardship campaign so that we can help others in Jesus' name and do God's work. But that's not all. Worship involves all of us, all that we are, all of our beings. When I went back home a few weeks ago, meaning home, my native land, and I was expecting that after 20 years of absence, 22 to be exact, that at the airport, the president and everyone would come and greet me and welcome me. I was ready for that. I took a shower, I cleaned myself, and I washed my face in the airplane several times. I brushed my teeth and all that, you know, on the sissy stuff. And I put the best suit on knowing that people would welcome me. But they were so grateful that I returned after 22 years. But only my family, a few members of my family came. And that expectations got low down immediately at that point. And it set a tone for the rest of the visit, although I had a wonderful visit. And I was hoping that, well, maybe perhaps people would notice that I'm a stranger now and they would welcome me to their homes and perhaps invite me to give speeches and you know, make announcements. But none of them really came. But, you know, the grace of God has shown me that worship and serving God is not all about those big parade announcements it's wonderful, the glare and the glimpses, all the wonderful things. But when we open our minds and be led by the Spirit and call on the Lord to say, God, show me today what you want me to do, how you want me to worship you, how you want me to serve you, God does answer that prayer. As I spent a few weeks, I sat at local tea shops and I opened my eyes with God's help. There I noticed 105-year-old grandmother sitting by herself, couldn't afford for her meal except one cup of tea. So I pulled my chair next to her and saying, "Dear grandma, is there anything you need?" And she just opened her bag up with empty buckets saying, "Could I possibly just have a few rice and some chicken? That's all I need." Worship took place that day at that tea shop. Serving the Lord took place at that moment. That's not all. As I opened my eyes, I was able to see a mother who could not afford a can of soda, which is only about 40 cents in the hot heat, 90 degree winter weather for them. But you could notice every little thing, what you could do for someone else in Jesus' name. That's why Matthew 25, 40 tells us this. That's when you do for the least of one of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do unto me. Worship and service go together. And that worship and service can take place not only here at the church, not only here at the four walls of the church, but on the street, in the market, at workplace, wherever we go, even at our Thanksgiving table. Then going down to verse 3, the psalmist tells us, God reminds all of us, because we need to be reminded that we need to know that the Lord is God. As the handful of people from the Mayflower on that day set aside the tradition to give thanks to the Almighty God for bringing them safe and sound in this land, even if they were so underprivileged with all the things that they have to face in their new life, they were able to call on the Almighty God and giving thanks to Him. See, it is very interesting in verse 3. It said, "Know that the Lord is God." As thankful Christians and believers, especially here in America, we have so many things to be grateful for. We have so many things to be thankful for. But the question is, who do we give thanks to? The Psalms remind us that we need to know, not just out there somewhere blindly and saying, "Oh, whoever's out there, and we pray to you, if you are listening, we give you thanks and praise." But we know the one who we give thanks to, that is the Lord, Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth. In verse 3, if you look at it, it is He, it is God who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pastures. In this season of Thanksgiving, it is very easy to say that all that we have is ours because of our works, because of our efforts, because of our doing. Part of that is true. However, all good gifts, all the blessings, all the wonderful things comes from who? From the Lord. He is the one who made you and I. Our very being, our whole selves, our heart, our souls, our mind. We are made in His image. We are no accidents. The psalmist said, "You and I are wonderful and fearfully made." God had you in mind even before the creation of the world. We are His people, the sheep of His pastures. Now, that part is not so fun, because if I have to admit, I don't want to be a sheep, right? Sheep, being sheep is no fun. I'd rather be, if it's given, we all rather be shepherds or strong animals, not sheep. Sheep are geeky, all right? They are not that smart. But that's precisely what the Bible says. God is our shepherd. We're not shepherds. God is our shepherd. We are His people, the sheep of His pastures. Why? Because our God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, The Creator of all of us knows precisely where the still waters are, where the green pastures, where we may find life, where we may find hope, where we may find peace and strength. Know that the Lord is God. And so we shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, and we worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. And then we know the Lord is God. And there is another command here. That is in verse 4. It said, enter his gates with thanksgiving. We come to God's presence with thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude. And that's what our worship is about. That's what our life is all about. It's not because we got everything that we needed. It's not because we didn't get this or we didn't get that, but rather we come to his presence with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That's interesting because in verse 1, in verse 2, it said we got to shout for joy to the Lord. And then in verse 2, it said we need to come to God with joyful songs. Then here in verse 4, it said we also need to come to God in his courts with praise. When was the last time you praised his name? When was the last time you thank God and remember his name and praise his name for your life, for your work? And that is why God put this Psalms to remind the Israelites to say, yes, now you are in the land of milk and honey. You have plenty of food to eat. You're no longer in the wilderness. But now remember to praise his name, to praise the one who delivered you from captivity, to praise the one who gave you all that you have. Why? Verse 5, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's why we should give thanks to God. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Going back to that tea shop, going back to this grandma who was 105, after we spent about 30 minutes talking. So she asked me where I would go next. And I said, oh, I'd spend a few days with my family, then I would return home in the United States. And she blessed me. And she said she would pray for me. And I said, oh, thank you, thank you. You would pray for me. And I asked her, what church do you go to? And she said, I don't go to church, son. I said, so where are you going to pray? And she pointed a mountain somewhere where the temple, the Buddhist temple, is located. She said, I go there 4 to 5 hours a day praying. You couldn't argue with that. I couldn't challenge her faith at that moment. But I know this, friends. You and I are made to long for God. Our souls, we are created to worship God, the one true God, as Psalm 100 described 5 times in this verse, each line. Shout for joy to the Lord. Worship the Lord in verse 2. Then verse 3, know that the Lord is God. And then verse 4, we are called to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, Yahweh, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Verse 5, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. We worship a God who is the true and a living God and who is faithful and whose love endures forever. I am so grateful that God doesn't treat me the way I treat God. I am so thankful that God doesn't answer my prayer the way I spend time with him. You see, for some said, where we are unfaithful, where our sins are full and many, but he didn't count us all those sins against us. Why? Because of his love. God's love endures forever. He loves because that is, just that is, he loves. He loves us. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. One day I hope that I will meet this grandma again. Perhaps here on earth, if not in heaven, that she may too find the Lord and giving thanks to him. And as I also recall the first Thanksgiving movie that I watched, I remind you to pay attention sometimes and go back to some of family movies, and I would recommend that actually. Why? Because in one scene in particular, where Mrs. Doubtfire, or Robin Williams as an actor, would do everything, every possible things, would transform himself to be a wonderful, great-looking grandmother. For what reason? To be with his children. And in one scene in particular, he appeared before the judge. And the judge said, you did some silly things. That's not what he said, but I think that was what he meant. You said some abnormal things by transforming yourself to a grandmother figure. Why? And Mrs. Doubtfire responds saying, the idea that someone would tell me that I cannot be with my children is like someone telling me I cannot have air. I cannot live without air, and I cannot live without my children. That's precisely our God, the maker of heaven and earth, did. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Remember that this Thanksgiving, as you sit around the table with your family, perhaps friends, know that the Lord is God. And enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. Let us give thanks to the Lord. Amen.